This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Thursday morning, a much more comfortable day, the Thursday. DCR with you, February the 25th, 2021. No Chris Canty today because Get Up steals him from us on Thursdays. So, Rick, it's me and it's you. Mano a mano. Good morning.
Good morning, David. We're going to need to get Canty on the phone. I just want to talk about NC State's big win last night. Big win by NC State last night.
NC State beat, what, Virginia last night?
Yeah, beat Virginia. Wahoo wah.
Oh, my goodness.
Best toast in the game.
Are they falling apart there? Is that what's happening in Virginia
land? I don't know if they're falling apart or not. I just like, you know how Canty gets when you start giving him a little razzing about Virginia.
Chris Canty, wahoo wah.
Although I will tell you, and I would say this to him, and he would probably be defensive of this. I don't, if my teams, and I've seen it in the past, win a championship, you would know. I would go crazy. You'd walk into work. There'd probably be like breakfast waiting for you. I might buy you gifts or clothing or something. He's won two championships since we've been a show, the Lakers and Virginia, and he's so matter of fact about it. Just I remember the day after Virginia won. I was like, congratulations. He's like, thanks. Like he was. I don't know whether he internalizes it and he just can't expose how excited he is, or if he's not that excited, or if I'm so crazy that I take it to the extreme and other people don't do that. But I have been surprised at how benign he has been when it comes to championships.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Maybe it's because he's actually like he's been to the mountaintop. I mean, he's actually won his own Super Bowl. So maybe, you know, when he roots for teams that win championships, it's not as exciting as it is for you.
Yeah, maybe.
Who gets naked and, I mean, you're just a different
you
level.
Know, you, now, here's the thing. And I understand taking shots at me is like a hobby and an art form for you at this point. If the Jets won a championship, you think you'd be like, well, you know, that's what we do. I began the naked run in 2007.
No, I would be, I mean.
You'd be crazy like me.
Yeah, I'd be streaking down the canyon.
Exactly. So don't sit here and look down on me. Yeah, I think it's strange that he doesn't get more crazy and excited when his team wins a title.
Yeah, but that's Chris. He's actually won a Super Bowl. You know, I mean, me and you, I'm not, you know, to your level, but you're also talking to the same guy who fantasized about winning a Stanley Cup and, you know, getting essentially naked on the ice, like throwing my equipment into the stands to fans after winning the Stanley Cup. So, I mean, I'm not at your level. I guess I'm trying to get to that level, but I mean, you're special. That's what separates you. That's why we love you.
It does separate me. I am special. All right, Frank Isola.
Our own TB on the show. The new TB. TB2.
I am thermometer boy right now.
Oh, God. I have to bring that back up.
All day long, I heard from people about that yesterday. Who were, A, troubled, and B, were like, yeah, I had that done also. I never really talked about it, but I had that done. Everyone had it done. Now I have fractured glass in my rear. Everyone had that done. I don't want to revisit that. That was too upsetting, too painful. Frank Isola, 6:30 this morning. Little observations. Did it happen in Florida? 6:45. A lot of calls today as well. 800-919-3776. So And we have a lot to do. We'll get into the Herman story. We'll get into DeGrom still. He's throwing 99 already. Syndergaard looks good, so we'll get there. Knicks, Nets, both in action tonight. Nets are amazing. Knicks, they could use this victory tonight. Lot for us to get into. But let's start with the NFL. And we'll start with the quarterback carousel, which feels like it slowed down a little bit. And then kind of what do the Jets do and the odds of Vegas. So Roethlisberger, we thought maybe there's a chance that Sam Darnold was going to wind up there. Rick, it feels like that's now not going to happen, which takes another team off the carousel for Sam to potentially wind up with.
Yeah, it feels like that's off the table. And I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. At some point, I mean, we keep going back and forth. I mean, if Deshaun Watson's not going to play for the Houston Texans. I mean, he's already told them that. He's not returning phone calls. So that's going to have to be something that gets figured out. And you're right. I think that has to happen before the draft for them to get maximum value for
right.
Deshaun
Watson. That's not like a Roethlisberger thing, right? That you agree. Like if you're Houston and you don't trade him before the draft, that's you've completely messed up the organization, no?
Well, I don't understand what they're doing. I mean, my only thought is that, you know, Nick Caserio took this job because he figured that Deshaun Watson was going to be his quarterback and he's going to do whatever it takes. I mean, we've had Tannenbaum on. He says, you move heaven and earth to make sure that Deshaun Watson remains a Houston Texan. I think that ship has sailed between Easterby and, you know, Tommy Boy, the owner. Like, that, the damage has been done. So, I mean, at a certain point, these teams that want Deshaun Watson, they're going to have to make moves too, right?
Of course.
They can't just wait around.
And you'd figure by March, what is it, March 15th, March 17th, when free agency starts, you'd like to know who your quarterback is going to be so you can build around that quarterback, I would think.
Yeah, but also, I mean, if you're going into free agency and, you know, you're trying to get a big-time wide receiver or whoever it ends up being, I mean, and Deshaun Watson is your quarterback, that's a whole hell of a lot easier to sell than if you have, you know, some guy who's just a guy as
that's
your
right.
quarterback.
That's right. You want to come play with Taylor Heineke or you want to come play with Sam Darnold or you want to come play with Deshaun Watson or I mean, there's many layers to this thing.
Yeah, so that has to be figured out. I think as far as Sam Darnold is concerned, and I keep saying this, and you guys kind of shoot me down every time I say it because I think you feel like Sam Darnold needs to be traded because I think, I mean, you feel like it's in his... I agree with you as far as I think it's in Sam's best interest to get a fresh start somewhere else because I think, I mean, another new coaching staff, another new system, there's still not going to be a ton of talent around him. I don't think the fan base is going to have a ton of patience with Sam. So I feel like he needs to move on to, if he is going to be the next Ryan Tannehill, I think that needs to be with a different team. But I keep saying that part of what's going on in this decision is how good do we think Sam Darnold can be? Can Mike LaFleur, in a quarterback-friendly system, get Sam to a point where he's actually closer to reaching his potential? The potential we saw, that's why we drafted him with a third overall pick, right? If you take that and then you add it to the value of what you could get for that second overall pick.
Right.
Is that worth keeping Sam as opposed to drafting Zach Wilson?
See, I get your point, but I don't want to do that. I want to answer one question, and that is, can Sam Darnold be a really good quarterback in this league? Because if I can get a haul, but he's not good, it doesn't matter. I need to have the quarterback. So if you're the Jets brass, and you can answer the question of, is this guy going to be a good quarterback for the next decade in this league, and can we make him a special quarterback? And the answer to that is yes, then absolutely. All the dominoes, let them fall where they may. But that, I mean, Rick, if I can get multiple ones, if I can wind up getting picks into next year's draft, and I keep Darnold and he's not good, ultimately it doesn't matter all that much. I really think that Joe Douglas and his entire NFL career will be defined by what he does with the quarterback situation with the Jets this year and moving forward.
I don't disagree, but can Joe Douglas do enough with those draft picks that you would get from the second overall pick to build a team and with free agency that, you know, maybe it doesn't work out with Sam Darnold, but because of, you know, all the pieces that you've added, whoever you bring in next is much better supported than Sam was. You know what I'm saying? Like, the team's in a much better place where all of a sudden now you stick in a rookie quarterback and he's going to have more success early than Sam has had because he's been, I mean, between coaching staffs and lack of talent, it's been a nightmare.
Well, you have a ton of money, right? So if you, for argument's sake, you take Zach Wilson too, and he is the odds-on favorite, and we'll get into that in just a moment. So you take Zach Wilson too. So now you have a ton of money to spend. You have the 23rd pick. You have the second pick of the second round. I mean, you should be able to make this a much more attractive offense for whoever the quarterback is going to be. And if it is Darnold and you have two, I mean, you could add a the best receiver in the draft. You could add the best lineman in the draft. You could trade back and add multiple pieces. There are options here for the Jets.
No, there's a lot of options. And that's what happens now because you don't have the first overall pick where the only option felt like Trevor Lawrence. Now, I mean, this is – it makes me nervous because, I mean, you do now because you have so many options. There is the – I mean, there is the chance that you take – you know, you make the wrong decision, right? Like, you can't screw up the first overall pick. There's no choice. Like, the Jacksonville Jaguars are taking Trevor Lawrence.
And that's what anybody would do. It's clear. It's obvious. Anybody that was in that position would take Trevor Lawrence, yes.
So, I mean, if it doesn't work out with Trevor, you're not going to get killed for drafting Trevor Lawrence. If it doesn't work out, that was who you were supposed to draft. It didn't work out. I mean, that's not your fault. If all of a sudden now you make the wrong pick at two, if you take Zach Wilson and, you know, Trey Lance ends up being a better quarterback.
That's right.
Now you look stupid.
That's right. If you take the wrong guy at two, or you hang on to Sam, and because there's many different ways this could go sideways. You hang on to Sam, and any of those guys, any of them, Rick, turn out to be legitimate quarterbacks, you lose. You draft one of the quarterbacks, and one of the other ones becomes Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or someone of that ilk, you lose. I mean, this is a monster offseason. This is the decision that will define the Jets for the next 15 years. It really will. Now, you can win even if you don't get the best quarterback. But in order to make this a tremendous success, you have to wind up with the best quarterback available to whoever that might be.
Well, for a couple different reasons, too, because I mean, that's obviously what you want is the best quarterback at number two, whoever it ends up being, whoever you fall in love with. I mean, you said it. Vegas has, you know, Zach Wilson as the odds-on favorite to go to. I mean, it could be Justin Fields, Trey Lance. I think Mac Jones is probably further down the line. But I think you also have to take into account if you do move on from Sam and he goes to a different spot and they unlock his potential and he's great and the guy you drafted is just average.
That's right. Then you lose.
That doesn't look good either.
No. You're right. I'm saying, like, you need to win. At the end of the day, you need to get a quarterback that's great. Now, if you take Wilson and he's great and Sam goes elsewhere and he's great, you're okay. You're fine. But you need whatever you wind up doing to be really, really good. You can't have Darnold be better elsewhere than whoever you bring in is. You can't bring somebody in and have another guy in the draft turn out to be a superstar and you missed out on him. You need to have the quarterback of the future at the end of this draft. Be it Watson, be it Darnold, be it through the draft.
Let me ask you a question, though. Here's another option I want to throw by you. At any point, if you're Joe Douglas, knowing that that fifth-year option is looming with Sam, and that, I mean, that's if Sam is... you know, has an average fourth year, paying him, you know, $25 million seems like a lot of money to be paying him, right? Do you consider now going to Sam and his agent and trying to work out a reasonable longer-term deal as opposed to just picking up the fifth-year option?
You could do – I mean, listen, if he's going to be my quarterback next year, he's going to be my quarterback for a long time. That's my take. So, yeah. I mean, if I like him to that level, would I make a long-term commitment to him? I would, and I would try to make it team-friendly, absolutely. I worry that he's not the answer, and you stick with him, and you think that that's the way to go, and it's not, and then all of a sudden you're back behind the eight ball once again if you're the Jets.
Well, the only thing that concerns me is this, right? I mean, all these teams that I root for, and I mean, you root for the Knicks as well, like we get in these conversations about, you know, staying young, collecting draft picks, making the right decisions. And it seems like, you know, the more we talk about that and the regimes change, we still keep talking about the same issues, regardless of regime. Like, Knicks can't find a point guard. Jets haven't been able to find a quarterback. Like, at a certain point, it's just the Jets aren't good at drafting and developing quarterbacks.
I don't know what the answer is. I mean, maybe it's partly the Jets' incompetence. They haven't been a really well-run organization for a long time, too.
Because, I mean, Zach Wilson, I mean, I've watched this tape, you know, going through, you know, different breakdowns from different people. I mean, he looks like he could be a really good quarterback if surrounded with the right coaching staff and the right talent. But then on the other hand, I got, you know, guys in the business that you trust, you know, draft experts, Dan Orlovsky, you know, guys telling you, no, I mean, Sam Darnold has more talent than Zach Wilson. So, I mean... oh, okay, well, if Sam Darnold has more talent than Zach Wilson, and now I have a team, you know, a quarterback-friendly system in Mike LaFleur, it just makes it a much harder decision.
Because it's not an easy decision. But it's as difficult as the decision is, Joe Douglas better get it right. He better, because if he doesn't, this will define him. And I don't care what direction it is. If Watson is traded and you don't get him and whoever you wind up with is not at that level, you'll get beat up for it. Same thing where if you keep Darnold and one of those other young guys turns out to be great. Same thing if you take one of the other guys and he's okay and Darnold turns out to be great. This is big. I mean, I really think so. I really think what he does this April will define the career of Joe Douglas.
This is one of those deals. Like, you know when you go to a diner and they give you the... I love a diner too, but they give you that menu and it has like a million things on the menu. Now you're in trouble because now all of a sudden, this is a recipe for failure.
But are you in trouble? Because there are many pages which you shouldn't, like, you're not going to get oysters. You're not going to get the lobster. Although I could see you doing that. I could see you going to a diner at 2:30 and be like, let me get the oysters Rockefeller.
Never.
No?
Never. That is not me. That is my dad. My dad will go to, and he's got food poisoning numerous times. He'll go to a place like that and he'll get the raw oysters. Or he'll go to a place that's known for their, their nachos and burgers.
And he's got to be the guy that gets the filet of sole.
Yeah, he gets the blackened catfish nuggets for some reason and then gets sick and wonders why he doesn't feel good. All I'm saying is that now all of a sudden, because I have all these options, there is a chance that I make the wrong choice and regret it. As opposed to, this is where we're going, this is what you're getting.
But just go with the burger. The burger is always good at the diner. You don't have to, create some new innovative, chicken franchise with a side of this. Just get the burger. Everyone likes the burger.
Yeah, but unfortunately, with the second overall pick, there is not just the burger. There's the baby. You could get the burger.
Yeah.
You name it. There's a lot of choices now.
There are a lot.
Apple,
hammer, saw, maybe pear, maybe not. I'm not sure. I wouldn't get a pear from a diner.
I'm not a pear.
I haven't had a pear in a very long time.
I had a salad the other day with pear in it. Delicious salad. Oh, yeah. Pear, goat cheese, pistachios.
And I'm bougie.
Dried cranberries.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah. And I'm bougie.
Well, you are bougie.
Oh, stop it. You had a salad with pear, goat cheese, and dried cranberries.
That's one of my wife's favorites. I eat the same thing every day. You have the wrong opinion of me. I eat the exact same thing almost every day.
You're having pear?
Well, not every day. Like, I rotate the salads will rotate. But as far as, like, leading up to dinner, I eat the same thing every single day.
Love bacon.
Oh, I do love bacon. I can't get enough bacon.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no way, and I'm sorry, you might disagree, there is no way in my mind that Utah's winning the NBA championship. No way.
No way.
No way.
So is this that you think the Clippers are a better team than Utah, or you just feel like Anthony Davis is going to be back, Schroeder's going to be back in the Lakers?
I don't trust Utah in a best-of-seven series against numerous teams.
Well, tell me the numerous teams, because they probably should have handled their business against Denver last.
I would say the Clippers. I would say the Lakers. I would say Denver, and I would say the Nets.
I would probably disagree with Denver. They'd have their hands full with the Clippers. And I'm telling you, though, the AD injury concerns me. I don't know how you could be concerned.
And it should. Because that is a NBA landscape-changing injury. If he is out or compromised and not healthy, they are a completely different team.
Completely different team. I mean, he's one of the top five best players in the NBA when he's healthy.
And you saw what he was last postseason. He was awesome.
He was a beast.
I'll tell you what, if he doesn't play, they're done too.
The Lakers are done too, so you think it's going to be the Clippers again then?
Yes, I would say so. But I will tell you this, if you don't have Anthony Davis, I would take the Jazz over the Lakers, I think, in a series.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, you sit here all of a sudden making these proclamations that Utah has no chance.
I don't think they're going to win.
Yeah, okay. You may not think they're going to win, but you have no idea what this thing is going to look like.
Sure. And listen, we could change it based on injury, but I will even go as far as this. I don't care if it's Anthony Davis is healthy or not. There is no way. And I like Utah. There is no way Utah is winning the NBA championship. No way.
Okay. I mean, I could see Utah getting to the NBA finals.
Oh, boy. I find that hard to believe.
How do you find that hard to believe? Have you watched them play basketball lately?
Who's the star player in the big moment? You love Mitchell, I get that, but I mean, Gobert, do they have a second option?
You're not going Gobert. Will you stop with that? I mean, come on.
Who's your second option on that team?
Jordan Clarkson. I mean, he's off the bench. He's the new Lemon Pepper Lou, I'm telling you right now.
I mean, Joe Ingles? I mean, where am I going here with my second option?
Second option down the stretch. I like your first option. I think
yeah, I like
Mitchell's
Mitchell
a hell of a first option. I mean, the way they move, listen, the way they move the basketball, I mean, have you seen what they've been doing from three? It's ridiculous.
And I understand they're 22-2. That's why it's such a brilliant take, because it's not like they're 12-12 in their last 24. They're 22-2, and I'm still coming out and saying there's no way they're going to win an NBA championship. None.
You got Conley down the stretch, Bogdanovich down the stretch. I love Ingles. How do you not love Ingles? Stop yourself, would you please?
You love Ingles in a big spot of game seven of the NBA postseason?
No, I don't love him in a big spot. But listen, I think you're saying what you're saying because it's not, I mean, Donovan Mitchell hasn't been, I mean, he's been in big moments. In the bubbles, he's in big moments. But, I mean, you're talking Western Conference Finals, like down the stretch, game seven. Do you trust them? Well, we won't know until he gets that opportunity. But right now, I mean, they're one of the best basketball teams in the NBA.
Right now, you could argue they're the best team in the NBA. But
I don't know, man. The way that Brooklyn's playing right now is...
They're sensational, aren't they?
Without Kevin Durant. He's going to miss another game.
But there's no reason to rush him back.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd rush him back.
Right? I mean, you win anyway. Let's go to John in Valley Stream. John, you're first up. Good morning on 98.7 ESPN.
What's up, guys? Good morning. I just got a quick question. I want to get your opinion on it. You know, I'm a diehard Giant fan, but the Sam Darnold thing, like, you know, when people like, you know, you guys, and I don't mean you guys specific, but, you know, the media and stuff, when they address the fact of, like, trading this kid, let's say he goes to Indy, throws up 4,000 yards.
He's not going to Indy.
John, Carson
Wentz. Well, it's just hypothetically.
Hypothetically, he's not going to Indy.
It can't be hypothetical. Carson Wentz just got traded to Indy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, just what I'm trying to get to is, like, the point, does the factor in, like, the fact that this kid could go somewhere else and be good, like the regret? I mean, does that even make factor in on a decision-making on trading a quarterback? Like, if this kid goes somewhere else and blows up, like, is it really, like, that big? Or do you just cut the Band-Aid, just in sports general? Because I hear a lot of that. Oh, if he goes here and he becomes good, we're going to regret it. But it's almost like, you know, when you break up with a girl and she ends up, you know, with a better guy, it's like, okay, I'm either going to regret it or I'm going to move forward. So I'm kind of getting want to get your opinion. Is that something that guys...
Well, John,
like,
let me ask you a question. John, in your dating history, the last time you broke up with a girl, did you have a better option? Was that was there a better option standing like, sitting in front of you, or you just broke up to break up?
Just broke up to break up, but I get where you're going. But I'm just saying, like, as far as like them sitting down and making a decision on Donald... They trade him somewhere else. Are they really weighing in the fact that if he goes here and becomes a great quarterback, we're going to regret it? Really?
Yes. It's part of the reason why the Yankees haven't... John, it's part of the reason why the Yankees haven't given up on Gary Sanchez yet. Because a lot of these teams are scared that all of a sudden now this guy goes to, especially because this is a new regime, is he goes to a new team and he finally reaches his potential. I mean, I think what makes this difference is Joe Douglas didn't draft Sam Darnold. Right.
But Darnold's you can't manage scared either. Like, you have to have conviction of what you believe. If you think that Darnold's going to be great, then you hang on to him. I stand by that. But if you're not so sure, listen, if you don't love him and you move on and he turns great, then you messed up. That happens. But it also, if you move on and he's great and the guy that you draft is also great, then it's a win for everybody.
Yeah, you're right. But it just highlights the ineptitude. Right. It just highlights how bad the Jets were at developing Sam Darnold for 3 years.
But we know that.
Well, I know you know that, but you don't want everyone else to know it too. Like, we all know that. Like, we talk about the Jets every single day. We understand that. But it's like now all of a sudden the world knows it, that you stink at what you do. Bottom line for me is there's a couple options. Obviously, we talked about all the options. What I would do is I would put all my effort and energy into trying to get Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
That would be number one.
I agree with you.
That's a proven commodity.
Mike Tannenbaum says the same thing. He says he would get on the phone and not get off the phone until he acquired one Deshaun Watson.
But Dave, look what's going on with quarterbacks now in general, though. I mean, all these different teams. Like, all these teams are trying to upgrade. I mean, you tell me, if you get Deshaun Watson, are you going to, I mean, when's the next time you're going to look to upgrade that position?
What are we, 2021? Probably 2033.
Okay. So, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
I'm gonna be an old man at 2033. That'd be awful. Let's go to Eli, and it'd be terrible. I'll be up four times a night going to the bathroom. Eli in Washingtonville. Good morning, Eli.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, Rick just took the words right out of my mouth. The only way, you know, Douglas comes out winning in this scenario, in either case, if, you know, Sam Darnold becomes a success or these other quarterbacks become a success, is if he gets Watson. Because you come up in a win-win situation, because then, you know, you could use, you know, your other draft capital or whatever is left over, you know, to probably get a great wide receiver or, you know, help on the offensive line. You know, it just Watson is definitely a must get, because right there you have a guy that everybody knows his talent. Everybody knows that he's, you know, a great quarterback. Like, he's a sure thing, and you can get pieces to build around him. You know, when you trade, you know, Darnold, like draft picks or anything. So the Jets, I'm a Giants fan, but listen, this guy, you cannot pass up on Deshaun Watson.
But also, too, I mean, I get why people get, you know, concerned when you start talking about, you know, 3-4 first-round draft picks and everything else. It seems like a lot. I get it. But you're getting one of the, you know, the best players in the NFL, one of the top quarterbacks. I mean, he's signed to a long-term deal, reasonable money, and he's also going to elevate the talent that you already have, right? He's going to make everyone around him better. I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah, no, we agree. You can't give up too much to grab Deshaun Watson, because you're still going to have other assets. You're not going to give up every pick you have. You like what Joe Douglas is capable of doing. You're going to have a ton. I mean, do you realize how much money in free agency they're going to have? If you have Deshaun Watson and you have that kind of money, you don't think that Kenny Golladay, you don't think that Allen Robinson, you don't think that all the guys, Juju Smith, all the guys that are available would look at the Jets as a legitimate option with a head coach that is really respected and a quarterback who's at that level?
No, of course they wouldn't. Here's the other thing to take into account, too. I mean, look at just the recent drafts. I mean, you know, quarterbacks that have hit, like teams that have made the right picks. I mean, Cleveland takes Baker Mayfield with the first overall pick. And he had a good rookie season. He had a bad second season. And he had a good, I mean, he had a good.
Very good.
Very good season. You mean to tell me that if the Browns could swap out Baker Mayfield for Deshaun Watson, they wouldn't?
Of course they would. He's a top five quarterback in the NFL. I think most teams would go ahead and would do that. All right. Things are brewing in the Bronx. We got to hear from Luke Voit what he had to say and get your take on Domingo Herman. Is it time? Is it time to flip the switch and move on?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
So we got my mother-in-law in town, which is great.
Nice. And we got that's got to be a big help with the kids, I would think.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, she's the best. They love Nana. And then we have Cassie's sister and her boyfriend, which, I mean, Milo's like, I mean, they're doing Legos. Like, he's in heaven. So, you know, they come and Cassie says to them, hey, are there any things, you know, food-wise that we need to make sure we do before, you know, you go back?
Right.
So, of course, they're in New York. They want to, I mean, they're going to hit up some bagels. They're dying to get some bagels. And they want some pizza. So I'm like, pizza, no problem. I mean, Umberto's right down the road. We'll get that done. So that's what I thought we were doing. Yesterday was going to be pizza day. Oh, no. It wasn't, you know, drive to
salads with pear and goat cheese for dinner.
No, it wasn't like it's drive to Manhasset and pick up the pizzas. This was, Rick, I'm going to order the pizzas, and what you're going to do is you're going to drive into the city.
Are you kidding me?
Send me to the city.
Are you kidding? And you, see, I don't know who's more at fault here. Them for asking you or you for doing it. You drove into the city for pizzas?
Into the city.
That is absurd.
No, what was absurd is I get there, and it worked out great. I mean,
how long did it take you to drive in?
It was about, I mean, driving in wasn't as bad. Drive home was worse just because there was some construction going on. I mean, all in all, probably took me, I don't know, three and a half hours.
You spent 3.5 hours for pizza.
For pizza, but here's the best part of the story.
The pizza could not be good enough for me to drive 3.5 hours round trip for that.
No, it was fantastic. Delicious pizza. So Cass says to me, when you get there, make sure you just give me a call. And I timed it perfectly. Like, I was there exactly when the pizzas were going to be done. So I called her. I said, I'm here. I'm in front. She's like, okay, I'll make the call. You know, guy's great. He's going to bring them out. So I see the guy walking. He's got two bags. So I pop the trunk. I'm like, okay, yep, thanks. He's like, whoa, no. I got to go back in for the other two bags. I said, what do you mean? There's two more bags. He goes, yeah, there's two more bags. You guys having a party or something? I was like, not that I know of. I don't think we're having a party.
No wonder in the bags. Is he packing the pizza boxes in the bags?
Well, yeah, it's Detroit-style pizza, so there's not, I mean, it's not huge. They're not huge pizzas. right? I bring the pizza home. She ordered like 20 pizzas.
What?
She ordered like 20 pizzas for five people. Like I'm not even joking. Like 20 pizzas. Like
20 pizzas for five people?
It was craziness. We have so many leftovers right now. Maybe it's my fault because I said, like, okay, there are certain, there's like two or three pizzas that I know I'm going to like. So let's just make sure that we have, you know, enough of those pizzas. So she ends up ordering like two of every single pizza.
That is crazy.
She's
nuts. That this story on so many levels is troubling. The fact that you live in your surrounding area within a 10-mile radius, you probably have 15 really good pizza places, and you travel into the city for special pizza, and that she asks you to do it is also beyond reproach. And then secondly, the fact that she ordered enough for a small army is incredible to me.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot going on there.
How much did you spend? How much was everything? What did it cost?
I have no idea. I didn't pay for it. She did it when she ordered it.
I mean, I got to figure you spent over $400 on dinner, no?
I mean, I would imagine. I mean, with that many pizzas.
So pizza for five people and you spent over $400.
It had to be. I mean, there were so many pizzas. We have like whole pizzas that are left over. They were delicious.
You have lost all control.
I have no control, none.
No control. You could have had your driveway plowed three or four times for that kind of money.
Yes,
I don't want the double plow today.
That's money well spent. That's money well spent.
Wow, I don't want to spend more time on it, but I can't get over the fact you drove. I don't know which is crazier. The fact that you drove into the city and spent 3.5 hours getting the pizzas, or the fact that she ordered 20 of them.
I think the 20 pizzas was probably what did it for me. Like, I don't mind. Like, listen, whatever she wants, I'll do it. I have no problem doing it. And I like the pizza, too. So, I mean, it's selfishly, the pizza's delicious, especially because they actually have this one pizza that I hadn't tried, because the one we went to is they have another location in Brooklyn, and they didn't have it last time we went. But it's a pizza with ground beef. Essentially, what is it? It's a Big Mac pizza. The pizza tastes like a Big Mac. It's got like the Big Mac special sauce.
I don't know. I mean, so if she wants like mashed potatoes, does she send you out to Idaho? How does that work? Like, you'll go across the country for whatever food that people are looking for.
She made me drive an hour and 45 minutes to try a place's pancakes. This is what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, no, that is crazy. They could be made of liquid gold, and I'm not traveling an hour and 45 minutes for pancakes. Because honestly, like, there's got to be some kind of ratio where the amount of time spent getting to the place counteracts how good the food, in fact, actually is. Like, there was a time, there was a new restaurant in my town, and Sherry wanted to go so badly. And we went there, and they didn't take reservations. We had to wait for an hour and 15 minutes before we get our table. And we ate, and it was really good. And she's like, wasn't that worth it? No. There's no place that waiting an hour and 15 or an hour and a half for the table to be able just to sit down is worth it, in my opinion.
Well, I don't disagree with you that. I mean, I hate waiting anywhere. But to get in the car and drive, I have no problem with that.
So here's the question of the day, though. What is the furthest you've ever gone or your significant other has ever sent you to go get food? That's a journey.
That's an interesting question.
That's a journey. Cheeses? I'm willing to bet that no one has you outdone here. An hour and 45 minutes for a lunch one day into the city. Tell me it was during rush hour yesterday, by the way.
No, it wasn't during rush hour. It was middle of the day. I had to be there. I had to leave my house. I was there at 12:30. So I probably left. I left right around 10:45-ish.
10:45 to get there at 12:30.
Yeah. Oh, I got a lot done yesterday. I got the oil changed. Like, I'm on it.
Like, well, I know the show's done at 8. You have a lot of time on your hands now.
I know it's early, but husband of the year, I'm racking up points right
now. Yeah, no, you're already. So when you got home, was it like, all right, Rick, why don't you sit and put your feet up and we'll take care of dinner and everything for you?
No, I was like, go hose yourself down. You got to take a shower and then and then come in and help yourself.
I'll get the pizza ready for you. All right, the pizza conversation is on the table. 800-919-3776. We'll go from that, which is a fun conversation, to a serious conversation. That is Domingo Germán. Yeah, I got to tell you, we're a good year and a half removed from this story. This feels like it's kind of the start of it, because we'll hear what Luke Voit had to say in just a moment. And RJ Santillo, our producer, who's a huge Yankees fan, had a really interesting point before the show. He said he doesn't think it's worth it. He said he would just move on from Domingo Germán. But it feels like a lot of Yankees players are really uncomfortable with the fact that this guy's going to be a member of this team moving forward.
Well, what he said, too, is right now it feels like it's a distraction. And we all know how this works in professional sports. You're willing to deal with the distraction if the player is good enough to to make it worth
dealing. If the player is Tyreek Hill.
Who I can't. I would have a hard time being his teammate, by the way. As good as he is. The stories of what he did to his son, they make me sick to my stomach. And also take into account, Dave, too. I mean, we haven't talked about this, but I mean, go back to when this happened and when they lost him and how good he was that season. I mean, you go back to 2019, which was his best season as a Yankee. I mean, he's 18-4 and you're headed into the postseason and you don't have him.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's another thing you have to take into account is as disgusted as you were by what you saw or what you were told by, I mean, teammates that they saw. And on top of it, I mean, he decides this is, I mean, not decides, but he does this when, you know, the biggest part of your season is about to happen.
Yeah, but if you're, I mean, abusing your significant other, do you think that the thought process is going through your mind of, this is a very important part of the season and let me avoid something like that? It feels like that's kind of, I hate to say it, kind of who you are, kind of in your DNA, kind of in your nature. If you're willing to become abusive to someone at a public event, Rick, what the hell is happening behind closed doors?
That was exactly my first thought, was exactly that. I mean, if you're that comfortable doing it in front of other people, I can't only imagine. And on top of it, I mean, when they go back, apparently, I mean, it still wasn't over when they went back, right, to his apartment.
That's right. Then a Yankees player with his wife had to be called in to help the situation.
Exactly right. So, I mean, there are a lot of guys, I would imagine, in that locker room that will never look at Domingo Germán the same.
Well, let's hear from Luke Voit, who says, and, you know, a lot of guys, because how many times have you seen it in the past where a guy does something that's just, you know, reprehensible and guys come to his defense? We're his teammate, and no matter what happens, we're going to defend them. You don't feel like that. You feel just the opposite here. And here's Luke Voit from yesterday on Germán.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Domingo said has to stay within the team. He messed up in life, and, you know, I don't condone any of the things he did, and, you know, he's getting a second chance at this, and we have his back, but he's skating on thin ice, and he needs to get his life together, and I think he's doing the right steps to do so, but again, you know, he's got to prove to us that he can do that.
It's an uncomfortable place to be as a teammate, too, answering
these
questions. Because, I mean, you're in a – I mean, he's put you in an awful spot, too, is because, I mean, he is your teammate. And I'm sure, I mean, he's got closer relationships with, you know, certain players in that clubhouse, and you want to support him. But, I mean, you know, also when supporting him, like, how does that look on you? Like, you heard how uncomfortable Luke Voit was. Like, you got to preface the conversation, like, you got to preface your answer by saying, I don't condone anything he's done, but we're going to do our best to support Domingo Germán.
Yeah, because you've put your teammates in a really awful situation. And I got it, the apology yesterday. With his first thing, I apologize to the Steinbrenner family. I mean, how about apologizing to the woman that you abused, that you're still with, by the way? That shouldn't be first and foremost. The Steinbrenner family, that's your boss. That's you know, secondary or tertiary. How about apologizing for what you've done to who you've done it to?
Well, how much do you value her if you're willing to do that to her? I mean, if you're willing to be abusive to her, I mean, how much do you value her? Or do you?
I mean, I can't say that you do. I mean, this to me is a zero tolerance policy. I'm sorry. If you are abusive in a relationship, it's a zero tolerance policy. And I get it, you know, that we're in a win first mentality world right now and that, you know, Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill and second chances and all that. But I agree with RJ, and he's the Yankees fan. So I think that his viewpoint is a little more on target than mine because I'm not a Yankees fan. But if I was a Yankees fan, if Domingo Germán was on the Mets right now, I'd say, you know what, let's move on from him. I don't want that here.
Yeah, but you didn't say that. I mean, I don't know if you did or not. I mean, the Mets brought back Reyes, and he dealt with a similar situation.
He did. I don't want any of that on my team. I don't.
You already got Chapman on your team, though. I mean, the Yankees already have Chapman on your team. And it wasn't to the same level, but, I mean, it was... It was still something that, I mean, was was deplorable. You know what I mean? It's like, so I think the hardest part is that I think we both believe in second chances, right?
I do believe in second chances. But you know what? Sometimes second chances with other situations. Sometimes a second chance with another team is also a possibility.
Well, I understand that. But they obviously think he is going to be a big part of the team here moving forward. So they would rather the second chance be with them. And they feel like, you know, with the support of the coaching staff and his teammates, that they can, you know, help him get his life back together and rehabilitate him. But this is going to be something he's going to have to prove to his teammates every day that he's
changed. And we're going to have to watch this all year long. And God forbid he's not good, or God forbid he has a slip up, or, you know, there's a lot of things this thing can go sideways right now if you're Domingo Germán.
Well, yeah, I mean, your tolerance is only going to be, I mean, you're going to only be as tolerant as how good he performs. Like, your tolerance level will be dictated upon how well Domingo Germán pitches.
Yeah, because let's be honest, if Domingo Germán was a mediocre pitcher in this game, he would be unemployed right now.
Well, yeah, if he gets off to a slow start, he's just not good, and you're still getting asked questions. Like, if the Yankees players are still getting asked questions about, you know, Domingo Germán and what he went through, at that point, you're like, I mean, this is not worth it. We don't need to deal with, we're trying to win a championship here. We don't need to be answering these questions. This is a distraction now.
This is also not going to go away. This is going to be something that sits with the Yankees, that Luke Voit and DJ LeMahieu and every Yankee is going to have to answer all year long. This is not going to go away. And you know what, Rick? It shouldn't go away. What he did in a public forum is just, it's awful. It really is. There's no two ways about it. It's terrible.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, there's no explaining it away. I mean, they saw it. They witnessed it, which I think, I mean, is
which
is
makes part it of, worse, much
well,
worse,
of course
right?
It does, but it, which makes it such a big story now is because, I mean, they're, I mean, look, go back to what Canty said, right? Like, Canty was on that team with Ray Rice. Ray Rice stood in front of the team and explained to them what happened. And their initial response was, you know, we love Ray the guy. And Ray's, I've met Ray a couple times. He's a good
yes,
guy.
Yes, so have I.
You just don't like what he did. Like, in a moment, he made a bad choice. He made a mistake. And he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to pay his penance. He's going to have to earn our trust back. But then all of a sudden, the players on that team see the video. And that completely changes how you view him. Like, how he explained it and then what you watch are two different things. These Yankees players, I mean, they were there. They saw it. They witnessed it. So, I mean, it's right in front of your face. And to do that in public, I think they all thought the same thing that we thought. Is that, I mean, if this guy's going to do this in public in front of us?
What the hell is happening behind closed doors? You have to be. You have to have that thought. Anthony in Spring Valley. Anthony, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good morning.
What's going on, Anthony?
Really quick on the Domingo Germán situation. I think he should be kicked out of the MLB. Just
well,
because
he, I mean, he, Anthony, he served an 81-game suspension.
Okay, and I understand that, but I just think what he's done, what he did was, let me just give you an example why I think he should be. I think mm-hmm. that if he, let's say he gets traded to the Dodgers, now Dodgers players may not be readily acceptable of him. So now he's just going from the Yankees, who half the team disagree with what he did and don't like what he did. Not really sure if they want to be a teammate of his. Anywhere he goes, you're going to have that same situation. So, I mean, I don't know. I just think there's this thing. First of all, he shouldn't have did it. No one should have done it. The Reyes, you know, Chapman, they all should be kicked out the league for things like this. But for Domingo Germán situation, I think more so he should be just banned from the league or moved on from everyone, because it's not going to get any better anywhere he goes. And thanks, guys.
Yeah, see, I don't know that I agree with that, Rick, and I'll tell you why. Because these guys saw it. These guys firsthand saw what he did. If you get a fresh start, and hearing about it is different than seeing it. And we saw that with Ray Rice. We saw that with Kareem Hunt, right? When you see the video, it makes a much more distinct, lasting impact than if you haven't seen the video or if you haven't seen it in person.
No, you're right. But I think, I mean, there's a better chance that he can fit in with the Yankees, because the Yankees know, like, he's been teammates with the Yankees. So
I don't know.
No, I you're right. Like, we still don't know. But, I mean, this is, there's been other situations where stuff like this has happened, where somebody that did something similar to Domingo Germán has gone to a different team. And, you know, there were guys that weren't happy about it. But it kind of had the same opinion that Zach Britton did. I don't get to choose my teammates. That's above my pay grade.
Yep. No, I understand. Now, I know this is a 180, and it's a strange way to switch topic. There's a guy on the line, and this could be bad news for me, but that's fine, who apparently has reffed my kids' games and has a report of what I'm like during these games. Would you like to take this call?
I think we have to. There's no choice.
Honestly, I'm very concerned of where this could go. Chris the ref in Westchester is next up on 98.7. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing?
I'm anxious for this phone call right now.
And I just called to tell you hi. I miss you guys. I miss Ben. I miss your wife in the stands. Your little one running around. I mean, I just miss you guys, Dave. And You were one of the best parents.
Ha! Huh.
Dave, trust me. In Tri-County, you were one of the best parents.
Rick, what do you think about this? This is Chris the Ref.
I feel like Chris the Ref is on your payroll somehow.
Well, he's not on my payroll. Chris, you hear me during the games, though, right? I complain a decent amount, yeah, but overall, I'm pretty good.
You're pretty good. Yes. Dave, I was doing a AAU game in Connecticut back in July, August. 14U. The team was winning by 30 points with 38 seconds to go. The winning team had the ball. Now they're showboating. I'm standing next to the winning coach. I said, "Coach, are you going to pass the ball? Are you going to hold it? You going to shoot it?" He said, "We're going to just hold it." 28 seconds left. I call the game. Me and the other ref. The parent from the losing team cursed me out for calling the game. I said, "You know what?" I said, "Where's Dave at now?"
See?
You know, because it's insane. But, yeah. You know,
Chris, man, we appreciate the phone call. We got it wrong. We're up against it. Thank you so much. How about that? Vindication, baby.
Yeah, I don't believe it. Not a word.
What do you mean you don't believe it? I know exactly who he is. I'm a pleasure.
Your pleasure. Stop it.
I mean, I'll speak my mind, but I'm a pleasure. A pleasure.
You imagine that, though? Being up 30 goals.
I witnessed on our team. We're in the playoffs a couple years ago. The officiating was horrendous. We won a game in double overtime. One of the parents on we won the game, Rick. One of the parents on our teams chases down the referee in the parking lot and is scolding him for the horrendous officiating. And I was like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "He should know he was awful." I said, "We won the game. It doesn't change the fact that he should know he was awful." Parents of youth sports are, and you see it, you coach youth sports, right, are horrible.
Yeah, sometimes it's tough. I still don't believe that you were a treat in the play.
He just called. He misses me. He misses my wife. Misses Alex. He misses Ben. A treat of a family to endure during these games. Oh, couldn't feel better right now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.